Well, my name is Joe Hendershot. I'm happy to be helping to lead the youth group now. I'm a little feedbacky. Let's see. But, oh, hey, hold on. I forgot. We're going to do something first. A few kids wanted to share a personal memory. Let's see. Addie Markham, it's your turn. Where are you? There you are. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Addison. As you guys might know, my cousins, the Hamptons, took Andrew in as their Pace kid 5 years ago. He has always come to our family dinners, and that turned him into my uncle. And the same with Sarah. She just wasn't a Pace kid. But after a while, they just turned into your family. I'm gonna cry. But after a while, they just turn into your family. Sarah and Andrew mean so much to me, and that makes it a bajillion times harder to say goodbye, especially since they're like an aunt and uncle to me. And I hope that the people in Washington realize how... I'm sorry. Realize how special they are to have these amazing people in their lives. Andrew and Sarah have impacted me in so many ways, I couldn't even list them. I'm a really big baby when it comes to talking in front of people, but Andrew and Sarah made it a lot easier. Now, I'm not saying I'm not sweating bullets right now, but they have helped me with that. It was like 4 or 5 months ago, and I was feeling really lonely and just had a bunch of anxiety. So I started taking notes, and eventually I shared it in youth group. I shared it because when I see Sarah and Andrew talk, I can see God working in them as they speak. And it did end up getting me better, and it got me way closer to Jesus. Something I will always remember is when Andrew, Sarah, Riley, and me were driving back from a hiking trip, and Andrew fell asleep, and I took his phone, and I tried to get into it, but it wouldn't work. I asked Sarah for his password, but she wouldn't tell me. So I started thinking maybe he has a face ID. So I took his phone, turned it on, and I tried putting it to his face, and he wouldn't stop moving his head. So I grabbed my phone, and I take a picture of him, and I put it next to his phone. Didn't work. I ended up dying laughing from the pictures we took. I kind of gave up, and when he woke up, he turned his phone on. He turned his phone on, and guess what? He did have a face ID, but it wouldn't work with my phone.
Hi, my name's Riley, and I've been involved with the church for quite some time now, and Andrew and Sarah have been very good friends and a huge part of my life. They have always been there for me in tough situations, and they always make things better. And every time, they would always ask me how I was doing and pray for me during everything, and they do the same with everyone else. They probably have way too many kids on their phones that text them, and sometimes I text Andrew the most random things, and he never responds, but Sarah does. Last year at Night Vision, I got really connected with Sarah, and we had an amazing time together, and Andrew has been here as I continue to grow up. We have many memories together, and I wish them the best life in Washington. Please give your new youth kids expired food like you did with us, and please never forget how many people in Craig love you.
Hey y'all, I'm gonna keep it short, but Andrew's been part of my life pretty much my whole life, and sadly, I'm just kidding, but him leaving to Washington was a hard thing for me, but I know it's what he's doing best, but he's really impacted my life. He's made new connections with new people, given me more friends, made me laugh, and one of my favorite memories with him is I was behind on my Iwana book. So I spent like 2-3 days with him working on it, doing a bunch of verses, and it was just really fun. And I know all of y'all are so sad for him to leave, and I am too. And I love him a lot, and I love my special friend.
All right. That's my turn. All right. Here we go. So Andrew and Sarah are, of course, very, very special people. They're so full of God's loving kindness. It just pours out of them. I like to think they spread God's love like a 2-year-old spreads peanut butter. They just get it all over everything. Yeah. But I can tell you, just from the way people, and especially kids, just flock around you, people really like you. They're gravitated towards you. And you like people. That's a good deal. All right, as we all, I'm sure, are aware, Andrew and Sarah are leaving us. But here's what I want us all to understand, is that they're not simply leaving, they are being sent. They're being sent by God himself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So being sent carries with it a sense of purpose and meaning that goes far beyond simply leaving, going somewhere, and doing something. So to illustrate that point, I have with me a piece of paper. Ooh. Ah. Yeah. So this is a person, all right? And when a person has, my handwriting is not great. There we go. That says the gospel, all right? So when a person has the gospel, they are changed. Right? God puts his spirit inside them. He bestows upon them spiritual gifts, special talents that we're supposed to use for his glory. He gives us a heart that desires to do his will. And we have personal experiences that shape us into who we're supposed to be. And there we have it, a Christian. Yeah. So we know 2 Corinthians 5:16 tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come. This paper is a new creation. It started as just a piece of paper. Now it has a specific design. Right? The paper, when folded, has become new. Designed with a specific purpose. To fly. Let's see how it goes. Yeah. How about that? All right. I need that for later. I got to go get it. All right. So similarly, we are designed for a specific purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are his workmanship, his work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. To further illustrate this idea of being sent and to express the reality of God's sovereignty, I want us to look at a specific verse from the Bible. Before I do that, I'd like to tell you some things about it. This verse is the second most well-known verse in the Bible, second only, of course, to John 3:16. And according to BibleGateway.com, it was the 7th most searched for verse in the year 2024. And I personally happen to believe this verse can be somewhat dangerous. How can a verse be dangerous? But here it is. Jeremiah 29:11. It reads, of course, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." So I'm going to break this verse down for us. My hope is that you leave here today with a deep and rich understanding of Jeremiah 29:11. First, I'll share just the problem, why and how is this verse dangerous. Then the promise, the truth of what God is saying here. And the plan, what is God's plan for our life? Firstly, the problem. It's just so easily misinterpreted when taken out of context like that. I just read it, and as a cursory reading, you'd probably come away with that without knowing anything else about Christianity or the history or anything else. You'll probably come away from that thinking, oh, it's God's plan for me to be prosperous and no harm will ever come to me. Right? And this is, in fact, close to what many people who profess to be Christian believe. It started as a movement in the early 20th century with something called the Word of Faith movement, or the Health and Wealth Gospel, or the Prosperity Gospel. Essentially, these people believe that if they have enough faith or give enough money to the church, they will be blessed. They often point to this verse and see, God himself says, he wants me to be prosperous and no harm will come to me. Of course, the problem is that's just not realistic. We don't have to look very far to see that's not the case. We don't even have to look beyond our own life. I think it's a little ironic these people think this way. I'll get into more why in a minute. But certainly we're not always prosperous, and we're not always without harm. So how do we reconcile this? This verse seems to be saying one thing. What we experience is the complete opposite. We start by understanding the context. You know, the easiest way when you're reading the Bible to have a more complete understanding of the context is just to read the verses around it. So let's read Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 4. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses for yourself, settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places I have banished you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place for which I have carried you into exile." So this is why I think it's a little ironic that the prosperity gospel people cling to this verse so closely. When we have a more complete picture, we can see that the reality is the nation of Judah is being sent into exile. I've never been sent into exile, but I mean, it can't be good, right? Yeah. It's tough. And part of the reason the nation of Judah was being sent into exile is because they were following false prophets and false teachers. Just like the people who misuse Jeremiah 29:11 are spreading a false teaching. A little ironic. But anyway, here is the message of Jeremiah 29. Even if your home is destroyed, your life uprooted, your city is falling down around you, everything you've built for yourself has been taken from you, don't lose your faith in God. Keep trusting Him. Do what's right. And above all, seek God. I think it would be good for us to not only have Jeremiah 29:11, but the verses following. I'll read them again. Then you will call on me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Mm-hmm. So bringing it back to our airplane example, what happens if we're behaving like the nation of Judah was, following their own way, saying my way is better than God's way, right? So we're not going this way. Instead, we go that way. It's not great. We can't get very far going our own way. In fact, we kind of just crash and burn. It's because we're acting outside of God's design for our life. I can tell you, if you're ever questioning God's will for your life, God, what should I do? I don't know what to do. Just seek Him. I know that's kind of easy to say and difficult to do. Life can throw all sorts of distractions at you. But the command is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. Seek Him first. So what is God's plan then? For the nation of Judah, it was the restoration of Jerusalem. After a period of 70 years, God inspired the men Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the city, the temple, and its walls. That promise came true for them. But what about for us? Well, I can tell you the plan from the beginning was to send Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. His death on the cross means our forgiveness of sin. His resurrection means our eternal life with Him. And finally, His Great Commission is our mission. The Great Commission says this, Matthew 28:19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Yeah. I'm telling you, Andrew and Sarah here will continue, have been, and will continue to live this out. And I know even Josh Taylor, who was here last week, shared about how this Great Commission inspired him and moved him to start his ministry in Bags, Wyoming. He was sent by God to do that. Likewise, He's sending Andrew and Sarah to the great state of Washington. Yeah. And likewise, He sent me to the noble town of Craig, Colorado. And likewise, whether we know it or not, He's sending you into His world to show His people God's love, to tell people about Jesus Christ, and to above all, seek Him first. Let's pray together. God, I just love you so much just for who you are and what you have done and what you will continue to do for us. I thank you for this mission from God to tell the world about you. It gives us a purpose and a direction. Just thank you so much just for sending your son to live, to die for us, and to raise again. I praise you just for the reality of your love, your grace, your kindness, and your truth. It's in your most holy name I pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to invite Craig up now. He's going to talk us through the end of our service. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Okay. So, can everyone hear me? No? That better? Okay. So, part of today is we would like to give you a blessing before you leave. And before you all leave, you're going to find some pieces of paper that were handed out today, and that's going to be your part in sharing this blessing that we're going to give Andrew and Sarah. So let me start off by a prayer here real quick. God, thank you for the gift of Andrew and Sarah. Thank you for the way they've walked in your love and led us with integrity, joy, and faith. As they begin this new chapter, we don't send them with sadness. We send them with gratitude, excitement, and prayer. May their love grow deep, their ministry flourish, and their hearts remain close to you. And our church family says, amen. Okay, so now these papers. So Joe demonstrated perfectly how to make a paper airplane, right? So it is up to you to fill out that blessing and create a paper airplane. If you need help folding the paper airplane, you're going to find some youth kids over here on the corner, and they are going to help you fold it. So while you're working on the blessing, the ministry, the worship team, excuse me, is going to come back up, and they're going to sing a song for us. And when we're done, we are going to launch these paper airplanes out across the audience and share this blessing with them. So if I can get the worship team back up here.